Make shortbread cookies for Christmas. Check. Pick out some funky socks for your sister, Shelley, for Christmas. Check. Get new lights for the tree. Check. Come to church on the first Sunday of Advent and hear creepy scriptures about the apocalypse. Check. It's an unsettling way to start the season of Advent, this mysterious, holy time of waiting. I think maybe we should have started with the beginning of Matthew. Mary, betrothed to Joseph, already pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a beginning. Or maybe we should have started Advent with the beginning of Luke. Those angels unfurling their wings, saying to the shepherds, "Be not afraid. Behold, I have come to bring you great news of great joy and comfort for all the people." That's a beginning for Advent. Maybe we should have started in the beginning, but the scripture doesn't let us. We start close to the end. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He has set his face towards the cross. He knows what's coming. He's just finished preaching in the temple, and now he pulls his disciples aside and he teaches them privately about the second coming, about the end time, about the apocalypse, which means the unveiling of the world God has created. It's less peace on earth, goodwill towards all people, and it's more floods like the time of Noah. It's less comfort and joy. It seems like less comfort and joy and more fear and judgment. I know this fear and judgment. I grew up in the Pentecostal tradition, in the Assemblies of God. They were big into the second coming. Christ is going to come back like a thief in the night, like a flash of lightning, and you better get ready. You better be saved. You better accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You better make your heart right, or this is what will happen. Christ will come back like a thief in the night, and he will take away the righteous, and only the righteous. And if your heart is not right, you will be left behind, and you will be so full of fear that you will crawl into a cave and cry out, like in Revelation, for the rocks and the mountains to fall down on you. This is what I grew up with. It was inside my mind and heart and body as a young person. I remember coming home from school. 10 years old, it wasn't that far of a walk. I was by myself coming home from school. I can still see the red brick house. I was going up the stairs. My mother was doing everything a mother does before her children come home from school. She was vacuuming and cleaning and getting supper together. She left the vacuum cleaner on and straight up as she went into the kitchen to turn the stove off, to turn the rice down. I opened the front door and I saw that vacuum cleaner still on in the upright position. And I thought the apocalypse had happened. I thought the rapture had come. I thought he had come like a thief in the night and he had taken away my whole family and my mother. And I had been left behind because somehow my heart wasn't right. Somehow Christ didn't think I was right. And my 10-year-old self fell down on the floor and weeping and sore afraid and embarrassed. and humiliated that I had been left behind. I wonder if Tyler felt like that. He was a whiz on the computer, a whiz with the violin. His friends and family say that when he played the violin, the whole earth stood still. And there was nothing but beauty. I wonder if he was sore, afraid, embarrassed, didn't think he was right when his roommate hid that camera in his dorm room, when they broadcasted live an intimate act that he was having with another boy. He must have been sore, afraid, humiliated. He must have felt that he was not quite right, not created in the image of God, because he went off to a bridge and he unfurled his wings. And he jumped. Christians, let me tell you something that is true. This is not what God wants. God does not want a 10-year-old girl weeping on the floor and embarrassed because she is not right. God does not want an 18-year-old man ending his life because he is humiliated or sore, afraid, or feeling somehow that he is not right. This kind of judgment and fear and shame and humiliation is not of God. And it is not in Scripture. Jesus talks about the second coming, yes. He talks about the apocalypse. He talks about the unveiling of God's world exactly the way it's supposed to be. Yes, God is going to be all in all in that end time. But it's not just that. That second coming, that apocalypse, that unveiling is in the here and now, all throughout Scripture. We pray it every Sunday. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Christ says, whenever two or three people are gathered together in my name, I am there. I am the one who is coming into the world. Yes, there is an end time when God is all in all, but the second coming is right here and right now, every time you come together to sing and to pray for one another. Every time you bake a casserole and deliver it to someone who is sick, every time you reach out and bind up a wound, every time you take a teenager under your wing and say, you are created in the very image of God and God is well pleased with you. That is the second coming of Christ. That is the flood of grace and mercy that is coming into the world. Is there judgment? Yes. But God's judgment is always inextricably tied to God's justice. A chapter after this passage of Scripture, even closer to the end, even closer to the cross, Jesus says, the Son of Man will come in glory, and on that day he will judge the nations. By what measure does he judge the nations? By how they care for one another, especially the most vulnerable. The Son of Man comes to judge the nations, to separate the sheep from the goats. He says, come to the righteous, come inherit everything I have prepared since the beginning of time, because when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked in my dorm room, You covered me with love. And when I was in prison, you visited me just to pass the time. And the righteous said, when, Lord, did we see you hungry and gave you food? And when did we see you thirsty? And when were you naked and we covered you? And Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. This is the second coming of Christ. This is the beginning of Advent. This is when you get to play your part. Stay awake. Be alert. Be mindful. Attune your lives, your ears and your heart and your whole life to the cries of the poor, to the cries of the most vulnerable. That's who you are as Christians. And in doing so, Christ floods the world. Does it happen in the end when God is all in all? Yes. Does it happen right here, right now? Yes. So be alert and stay awake and be mindful. Make the shortbread for Christmas. Check. Get some socks for your sister. Check. Get some lights for the tree, some new lights. The old ones are a little old. Check. Track down those Ghirardelli chocolates, the ones with the peppermint top. Check. Come to Sunday. Come to church on the first Sunday of Advent. Listen and meditate on the challenging and comforting scriptures about the apocalypse. Check. Be alert. Stay ready. Be mindful. Attune your lives to the cries of the most vulnerable. Check. Unfurl your wings as a church. Make them big and grand and say to all, behold, I have come to bring you great news of great joy about this second coming, about this apocalypse, about this revelation of God's world exactly the way it's supposed to be, full of justice and mercy and kindness and life in abundance. Be not afraid of Christ coming into the world, because it's through you. Friends, be not afraid in this time and in this place to say amen.